Welcome to Business Beyond Borders, the go-to podcast for CPA firms seeking transformative insights. I'm your host, Lawrence Whittam, and with each episode, we'll uncover key insights, best practices, and invaluable resources tailored for CPAs. From trending strategies to diving deep into outsourcing and offshoring, our experts will help in all areas of your business. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Business Beyond Borders. So I'm here today with Bruce Dittman from Trigger, who's the chief growth officer there, who is a US-based company with talent that they're able to have access to in South Africa. And again, we sort of met more recently at the CPA convention, right? The digital CPA last year. And again, it was great getting to know you since then. And we've been on multiple podcasts and different webinars together since then as well. And it's been very great getting to know you, Bruce. And one of the things we're going to talk about today, after we do a bit of an introduction, is a little bit in the outsourcing side. But obviously, Bruce has had a bit of an experience with CPA firms as well within their departments. So again, learning about his opinion on what firms can be doing differently when it comes to staffing, right? And then we'll sort of take the conversation from there around some best practices and what firms should be doing when it comes to outsourcing and offshoring and what you guys do specifically, right? So, Bruce, very nice to have you on.
Great to be here. Thank you.
So do you want to give a little bit of a background about yourself and Trigger specifically?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the short trip of it all is that I kind of stumbled into the world of accounting marketing about 15 years ago. I had a sales background, joined with a firm that was UHY Advisors and LLP. After a few years there, I became the CMO, the effective CMO. That title kind of didn't really even exist all the way back then, for the most part. Then my region, the region where I'm from, I live in Connecticut, so the Northeast region was carved out and purchased by a firm called Markham. And about 3 months after we merged in, which actually was 14 years this coming Tuesday, I think, was when it happened. I became CMO there, and I was chief marketing officer at Markham for 11 plus years. I was a passenger, alternately in the front seat or the back seat, but in the C-suite, wherever I was, from about 250 million to about 800 million.
Wow.
And then nearly 3 years ago, I left and I met the visionary leader of Trigger, Ilan Bernstein, and we hit it off. I loved his entrepreneurship, his vision for this. And I think, and we share a passion for the democratization of tools and resources to companies of all sizes. I think it's a part of the entrepreneurial spirit. I think lots of big firms like to talk about it, but the truth is it has to serve the smaller guy as well. So it's just been a pleasure taking what I've learned and what we designed at Trigger to the market and talking to people and educating and being educated.
And I love that. And that's one of that major pieces of, I was going to say, is that I love what you guys are doing from the education perspective, right? Especially from yourself. And again, this may be coming from a little bit of the marketing background about how to educate people through different media cycles and things like that as well. Because I think it's an important piece. I mean, that's what really stunts the growth opportunities that firms have, is that they don't really know how to use and leverage outsourcing in different cases. They don't know even what their options are in some senses, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're making a really good point. You know, from the world of marketing into what we're doing, there's a major misconception, right? And the major misconception is that your target audience needs to learn about you.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, that's a big lift if they don't know your value, if they're not compelled to. Now, 5, 6, 7 years ago, this was a crisis environment for talent. Okay. Now, it still is, but it is the new normal. We've become habituated to this crisis, right? So Trigger wasn't built during that sort of blood in the streets time. Okay. We were built intentionally in this habituated new normal and have and understand that we have to show the marketplace respect and explain to them and share ideas and educate the why and the how when it comes to our talent and our technology solutions with our incredible resources in South Africa. It's not a given that they have to buy from someone. And I think that's a big misconception out there.
Yeah. Now, can you go back to a bit of your US firm experience, right? Working in the CPA firms. And I think that comes full circle with the staffing crisis, right? Is that, again, we've come to somewhat of a culmination of there's a reduction in talent available in the US specifically. So I would love to get your background because you've been in a firm and multiple firms of, okay, what are some of these firms doing now that you see in the market from a great perspective, like in terms of what are they doing the right way to attract new talent and talent back into the profession? And maybe what are some areas that you've seen that firms should really change themselves to make sure that they are attracting new talent in that perspective?
Well, I mean, I can tell you, I mean, at the exclusion of outsourcing, you're talking about homegrown talent.
Correct, homegrown talent. Yeah. Yep.
You know, I mean, I think that there are a lot of things going on right now that are above my pay grade when it comes to very lobbying efforts to get rid of the 5-year rule and all of the other obstacles that people have correctly sort of pointed out that are challenges to attract talent. I'll tell you what jumps out at me, right? Having been in multiple firms and then having worked with a bunch of firms for a period of time as a consultant, let's go back to a word that I brought up earlier, which is entrepreneurism. Okay. Many firms, I recently did this live at a conference, a little mini conference, and asked how many of your firms have entrepreneurial spirit or entrepreneurism as one of their core values, right? And more than half the room raised their hand. And here's my challenge on that, which is as an entrepreneur, which you and I both are, right? And I think that the people who founded the firms and the partners in the firms legitimately are, right? When you demand that of someone, you think you know what you're asking, but here's what it feels like is you want me to act as though I'm an owner, but not be an owner. Because being an entrepreneur is really hard. But the thing that makes it all worth it is that you own this thing, man. Yep. You know, you own your failures, but you own your successes. Mm-hmm. So I think that one of the key puzzles, and I know private equity and some other, and a couple other firms doing ESOPs, so I've begun to puzzle this out, is how can you actually make that real? You know, how can you instill the entrepreneurial spirit in your team as opposed to demand it? And I will add another caveat, and this isn't even necessarily my original thought, but I've had this conversation around, which is young people nowadays, if you tell them that there's a 20-year deferred retirement plan, that is not something I would file under sexy. Okay. Yeah. No one I know talks about the retirement plan. It's not a thing that I'm 48, right? So I'm older already. It's not a thing that I grew up about. I think off the top of my head, I think there are like law enforcement, teacher, and maybe, first responder pensions. But other than that, a pension and retirement plan is not a thing. What people look for now are cash events, equity events.
Yep.
Right. So I think that if we really want to attract the top talent that's going into banking and other places out of finance and accounting degrees, we got to figure that out.
Now, and let's bring it full circle to the outsourcing element, right? So more of what Trigger is doing specifically, like what are you guys doing different than the other providers? Like what separates you from others? So that from a model perspective, right? Yeah. From a structure perspective, so that you can give the audience just a bit of a flavor to that.
Yeah, sure. And, you know, I promise this isn't a sales pitch. I'll tell you about why I love what we do. We are, as I mentioned, not built in crisis, but purposefully designed. And we are designed to be able to work with firms and clients, even beyond firms, at all phases of their life cycle. Okay.
Yeah.
So through talent and technology, we design solutions that are appropriate for a very small firm, a single digit million firm, through the big B firms. Gotcha. That are out there. Now, how's that work? Well, the the trick here isn't cheap talent, right? That's a conversation we have to end, right? The trick has to be value. Okay. We've certainly said no to business politely, right? Because for a bunch of reasons, and I think you're an expert in one of them, okay? And at least one of them, which is it couldn't work there.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's not to be mean. It's just people sometimes, we can probably talk about this, aren't ready for it for a bunch of different reasons. But I do believe that there is a way to help when you bring the following attitude, all right? I use the word outsourcing less and less, and it's not even strategic. It's just not one that comes up. We imagine ourselves as a growth engine for firms. Now, what does that mean? That means that our job isn't, our end state is not to get you to zero. So when people are short on labor, they think, oh, maybe we need to outsource. And well, how many people are we short? We're short a dozen auditors. Okay, let's go get a dozen auditors. We will do that, of course, right? But that's not what we consider success. What we want to do is prepare firms, again, of all sizes, to grow, to stop saying no to good business. Always say no to bad business.
Yep.
To stop saying no to good business. Now, that adds another wrinkle, okay? And this is one I've been talking about a lot. I think makes this a little different. Maybe it's because of our founder's background as a self-started entrepreneur. Maybe it's just who we are. But we love our brand. We love the Trigger brand. However, we are not so brand proud that we can't see past creating real opportunity for revenue for our clients. So that means Trigger has innovated white label products. These are things that we have stood up already that you can go to market with basically on day one and start creating revenue for your business. The magic of that is that's a revenue without additional inventory. Because there are only so many minutes, only so many 15-minute increments on the clock that you can charge for. When you've charged for them all, according to the number of heads you have in your building, and even on your outsource team, then what? Where's the growth come from?
Yep. Now, what do you see as, and again, you mentioned there, like, firms just aren't ready, right? Mm. So like, when we go into that, like, what makes a firm not ready to really do this, right? And maybe you've seen this from experience, right? You probably have come across firms that you're specifically talking to and you just like in the conversation, guys, it's not a fit, you're not ready, right? And what are those implications as to where you would say, guys, you got to fix this first before you should even get started?
Well, I think, I mean, I've learned a lot of this from you too. And the fact that someone who, you know, does what you do, you know, didn't exist in the past, right? I think, you know, the ability to come in and consult and educate and train and evaluate is so critical because there, you know, again, if we look at this continuum of readiness, okay, the first step is that you have some kind of inclination for it, right? Unfortunately, of course, that's not enough, but that's the beginning, right? Your willingness to change, right? It's the first thing that has to happen.
Correct.
So it sounds silly, but that's something that needs to be taken really seriously. And how deep into a firm, into the moving parts of it, does that permeate, right? How willing are people to work with other talented people who don't aren't on the payroll?
Okay? Yeah.
Number one, truly. Now, part of our job, your job, my job, everyone's job is to educate how that can work and assuage fears and answer objections. But there are places that are just fundamentally opposed to it for whatever reason. And I can tell you until leadership there or you or I can educate them out of it, it ain't going to work.
Yeah.
That's the number one big one. The number one reason that outsourcing with anyone doesn't work is a lack of outsourcing readiness at the firm.
Now, so how are you guys able to help with that as well? Because again, you mentioned myself and appreciate that. And that's really one of these big things that I saw that I was like, okay, let me go and try and help more so in the firms with the readiness. Now, but and it's partially in my eyes was that we were trying to do it, right? When I was in the outsourcing firm side, like we were trying to do that. And a lot of the times it was just that they weren't listening. Right. In some sense as well. I mean, like, are there certain things that you could advise that the firm do, right? Outside of even talking to me, but a lot of the outsourcing firms like yourselves, like, are very happy to sit and educate right? And make sure that you share more about not just your sales, but like what the future looks like when it's done correctly and the process and what a roadmap is, right? I mean, can you share maybe some of those examples of ways that you've done that with Trigger to help a firm sort of overcome certain barriers as well?
Sure. I mean, the number one goal is to make it easy. Whenever someone is in, and I'm going to use the word liberally, whenever someone is in pain, your first job is, right, to help them out of that. Okay. Yeah. So we want to make it easy. And the best way to do that, of course, is one is be upfront, be available, and to share information. There is, I think, something that, and I've been doing this now 3 years, and attitudes have changed. Okay.
Yeah.
And I think they might have leapfrogged a little bit. Whereas when we started, some people were still pushing back about outsourcing. Like here in the States, people have weird feelings about outsourcing, especially those folks who lived through the 80s and, you know, the Japanese buying Rockefeller Center and all the sort of great movies, but jingoistic movies that came out around that, you know, from Die Hard to Rising Sun and all this. And us, you know, there were real issues about that. And, you know, at my heart, I'm a labor guy, honestly. Okay. This is not about replacing U.S. labor, number one. So that sort of 3 years ago was still a fairly common conversation. It seems now everyone has decided that not only are they okay with it, but now they want to open up an office over there, wherever over there is.
Yeah.
There's a lot of work to be done in the middle. And, you know, as a service provider, as a solution provider and a growth partner, it is our job to sort of educate. The best thing we can do, okay, from the beginning is tell people what we're doing, right? And what we're doing is we are recruiting, for us, for example, we're not unique in this, but I'll just talk about what I know. We are recruiting people out of jobs to come and work at Trigger full-time. We're creating careers, we're creating opportunities, and we take that stewardship super seriously. Okay.
Yeah.
We take our client success super seriously, and we take our teammates' success very seriously. I want to change the paradigm, if it exists in people's head, of what outsourcing is, what it looks like, why people do it. We, you know, I know you and I have talked about this, you know, the idea of why is someone outsourced accounting talent, right? I haven't done a survey like that. That'd be really interesting. But I think people would be surprised. There are people all over this world, and certainly in South Africa, where our people are, who love this job.
Yeah.
They didn't grow up in the partner, necessarily in the sort of partner culture of firms here, although some of them, many of them actually were big four. That's not their value set, as is the case with many young people, even here in the States, as evidenced by the fact that people don't want to join firms, get on a partner track for 20 years. Yeah. They're happy to do the work that they love, which is the same work that our clients love, right? Accountants are a particular breed, and they love, you know, they love when balance sheets work out, right? They love the foot and cross, but they love what they love. Everyone has their thing, and that's what they do. These are the same people. I can speak definitively about our people who are, you know, again, enthusiastic accountants. These are not third shifters or part-timers. And so, to get back to your point, instilling a sense of humanity, okay, and an actual real connection to real people, not units of labor, not ergs of energy, but real people, is, I find, the best way to weave the operations together.
Yeah. And it's funny, actually, you mentioned that, because even when firms are interviewing candidates offshore, like one of the elements that, again, I've said, do the same, somewhat of the same onboarding, right? In a lot of cases that you would do the same type of interview process. And again, the benefit is working with somebody like yourselves, right? Is that, again, you take a lot of those things off their plate. However, they still got to be understand it and be involved in it to some extent. But we did some personality tests recently, and the results, I would love to do a side-by-side comparison compared to, let's do a bunch in the US, let's do a bunch in these different countries. I guarantee the personality tests look identical from the accountant's perspective. Yeah. So, because I was like, I looked at it and I was like, so as you see, this is exactly the same as anybody else you would hire here.
Really smart.
A little bit more reserved, very technical on the numbers, very smart. Like, and but it was funny seeing it. But now, when it comes to South Africa, because that's where the talent is that you're working with, that's where you're growing from that perspective. So can you tell me like some nuances to the talent in South Africa as well, like from a cultural perspective that would help if anybody's working with team members in that specific area, like what do they need to think about, right, coming into
that? You know, I mean, I think there are things that I think probably everyone knows, which is obviously there's obviously a language match. That's not a problem. For whatever reason, and I don't know what it is, but I know this happens with different nationalities and cultures, there's a profession that they seem to favor. And accounting, being an accountant, is just that for South Africa. Every firm I've worked at had South Africans in it always here in the States. I've heard that echoed back to me many, many times. I don't know why South Africans love accounting, but they do. Okay, that's number one. Number two is they are an incredibly tough and resilient people. Smart, adaptable. You know, South Africa is a first world and a third world in one country. I've been the first world is real first world. And the third is real third. The people who have gone and become a chartered accountant or on the path to that have made it into a professional class by through their intelligence, their work ethic, and their grit. And so you're not going to give a problem to a South African accountant that they're going to crumble under.
Yeah.
So they are, incredibly resourceful and innovative and hardworking people.
Now, what about from out of interest, the perspective of giving feedback and those types of aspects? Because again, there's certain cultures as well around the world where you've got to be a bit more reserved in the way that you're doing it, right? I mean, what when it comes to South Africa, what about that way?
That's a good question. All my partners are South African, and I receive feedback from them on the regular. So I can tell you that you do not need to sugarcoat feedback to a South African.
Okay. Tough skin.
Yeah. Now treat everybody with respect, of course. Yeah. You know, I'm no way endorsing, you know, just beating the hell out of people. But no, I am a sensitive American. This is a cultural divide between even me and my partners that we enjoy. You can give direct feedback, and they will adapt to it, and they will not crumble. And they're very, again, really durable workers.
No, and that's cool. The reason for asking is, again, it's a nuance. It's different, right? The talent there is very different than elsewhere in the world, right? And again, you have to sugarcoat in some cases in other areas, right? And you can't be as direct. You've got to give it in a good way. So no, that's perfect. Now, as we start to wrap up, I guess, obviously, like you're out there, you're helping educate from that perspective. Is there anything you want to share before we sort of wrap up from what should a firm do next, right? Even just from an exploration perspective, right? What is that first step they should be taking? Let's say, whether they've just opening the doors from a research perspective, or even if they're doing outsourcing now, but really not having a successful time, right? What is that first step that will help them?
Well, you know, I only want our clients to have success, and we will do whatever we can to make that happen. So that's controlling what's in my control and, you know, under my control. What I would say is, you know, have a really frank look internally and understand, can I give away work? Do I have processes that, you know, I always talk about division of labor being like sort of the magic formula here. And too often division of labor means everybody does everything. If you're a small firm, that's very hard to outsource, right? So if you have a audit process, if you have a tax process, if you have bookkeeping, if you have a clear assignment delineation, then that's a good sign that you're gonna be able to outsource work. The other thing is, you know, I'll offer like a caution. Okay. There's a lot of work out there right now, and there has been for a while. And firms have culled bad clients, which I fully endorse. Firms have been having to say no to good clients, which breaks my heart. So what I would say is look beyond getting to zero. Okay. Look towards growth. towards growth. You cannot margin tweak your way to growth. You can increase your profitability, but you cannot increase your growth. Okay. You can't do more sales without more inventory. And the market will figure a way to pick up all that business that everyone's saying no to. I promise you that. That is the American promise. Okay. So before we get cavalier and right size our growth strategy to our capacity, right, and end up on our heels when someone else figures it out, I would say think about remote resources, outsource resources as part of your strategic growth plan, not as part of an HR patching plan.
Yeah. No, love it. Love it. Again, the planning side of it and the strategy and putting some thought behind it as well. I mean, it's so important that, again, just a lot of firms struggle to do and just haven't done, right? And taking that step. And again, that's where you've got to do it. You got to put your goals in place, because then you're going to be able to see that, yeah, all right, we're getting there, right? And if it's not there on paper, it's how can you say it's successful or not at the end of the day? So. Yeah.
Lawrence, if I can have one more thing, it just occurred to me, and I haven't thought about this in a while. You know, I've talked to a lot of firms about this. And when, of course, you know, ultimately, I guess I'm in sales and we end up talking about price. And there's a super common mistake that people make. Now, we are not crisis priced. Okay. We really do try to make this beneficial to everyone involved and have very fair pricing, including our talent, who we overpay. Because that's how you keep good talent. Okay. Yeah. One of the ways. However, here's a common fallacy at firms, which is they say, okay, well, how much does a manager cost? And you tell them X. And then they multiply that out and they figure out what they would pay for a salary. Okay. Now, the comparison you should be making with outsourced talent isn't to what you pay, first of all. Okay. It should be to what you charge.
Yep.
Right. Because if you narrow your profit margin on an employee from, I'm going to make this up, from 40 to 30% in order to get this fresh revenue, you are winning. And I think one of the things that has held firms back is to say, like, we were going to outsource, but it wasn't really any cheaper than hiring here, which we, by the way, can't do. Okay. Yeah. So if you want to add to that top line, don't do the comparison with what you pay, but rather to what your chargeable rate for that person is. And if you can make a 20% or 25% margin on a person, but you're not covering any of their benefits, or any of their IT, any of their risk of departure or recruiting costs, you know, that's fresh cash. That's a client that you can then go sell other services to. So it's a multiplier. That's just one thing I'd leave you with.
No, completely agree. I mean, and now how can people find you if they want to, again, continue, have a bit of a conversation around this? And again, you do a lot of presenting as well around the place. So hopefully they'll see you around, especially in the upcoming conferences and things. But what's the best way to reach you?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, man. Well, you can go right to our website, which is Trigger PS, Polo Sierra, TriggerPS.com. I'm Bruce D at TriggerPS.com. And do come and see us at Engage and DCPA and at the other large conferences, Accounting Today Growth Forum. Come and find me. I love to talk to people.
Awesome. No, appreciate it, Bruce. Thank you for jumping on. And again, hope everybody had an insightful episode. And please reach out to Bruce if you have any questions. And again, we'll see you on the next episode of Business Beyond Borders. Thanks,
Lawrence. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you for tuning in to Business Beyond Borders. I'm Lawrence Whittam, and it's been a pleasure bringing you impactful insights tailored for the modern CPA firm. Remember, the world of accounting is vast and ever-evolving, and we're here to navigate it together. For more resources and episodes, don't forget to subscribe and reach out to our experts. Until next time, keep pushing the boundaries of your business and explore the limitless possibilities beyond borders.